section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A heel turn on Impact, Who's Running Wild, and NXT has their first pay-per-view. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insights and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Vince says that CM Punk is taking a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Is that one way of putting it?
I guess that is one way of putting it. Do you think Punk's going to be back before the end of the year, Andy?
I'm wondering if he is done. I thought about this for a while.
No. You got $50. All right. You have $50. Punk is either going to be back before the end of the year or he's not going to be back before the end of the year.
Well, let me ask what Dolphins 1925. Oh,
Andy,
wait.
What are you putting your money on?
He's done.
He won't be back before the end of the year.
Realistically, Stone Cold said something that is still makes me think that he's coming back. But CM Punk has said multiple times when he is done, he is done. I believe he is done. You will not see CM Punk ever. You will not see CM Punk for at least a year.
Okay, well, I'm going to rebut that, but not until a little later. Andy, Mysterio's contract is expiring. Is he going to join the likes of Alberto Del Rio and Christian and call it a day when he's done?
I don't think Mysterio will. I think he'll hop to whatever Jeff Jarrett or when AAA starts showing up on DirecTV and Comcast. I think that's when he'll show up there. But the problem is that he's had so many knee problems. I just don't see him returning. I don't see him trying to help another promotion out because he can't do that full schedule. And he can sign a Legends deal, do something with the WWE Network, do promotion for him in certain areas that, you know, like Spanish, that are Spanish heavy. That's the way to do it. Or if it's, you know, anything on the West Coast, he can do as well. I can see him maybe doing an appearance here and there. But if he signs a Legends deal, he's done. He will not. He's WWE for life.
Yeah, I think that Del Rio is more likely going to go to a AAA type. You know, he's going to go to AAA. He'll go to some Mexican based promotion. I don't really see him in TNA. I just don't think that that's where he would want to go. Christian, I could see go to TNA. But Mysterio, I actually agree. I think that he would sign a Legends contract. I think that his merchandising in particular will be really big for WWE. So I agree with you. Andy, we had recorded our WWE Network special this past week. I got to ask you, are you having any issues still?
Well, yes, I'm having issues aplenty. They did add a new feature where you would actually have like a dot and it would tell you what's happening in the show, which I thought was kind of cool. But I've had nothing but problems to the point where I actually canceled. Believe it or not, I got so fed up with it. I went through and canceled it. I've never been so upset about something so simple, just for the simple fact that, okay, they knew it was going to be big, but a lot of times I've seen it happen multiple times. Well, they'll make it so of course it's going to crash because then people are going to want it more. That's fine. But then you don't have the other problems of something, you know, simple things like CDN issues. Your live channel is fine, except for on Thursday. I'm so frustrated just because I know so many things about the internet. You'd be surprised if someone would make such a stupid.
Wait, so why did you cancel your subscription? Because of the stream issues?
The stream issues, number one. And number two, I thought about it. I was like, I know when I'm going to resubscribe because then I could have it set up so that I would actually get the September pay-per-view as well.
So you're going to wait till WrestleMania?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Because nothing is saying I need to watch this right now. They don't have it. And also, if you're having all these problems with the network, come on. That's ridiculous. They should have cached most of the stuff through CDNs a long time ago. And yes,
hold on. We're doing a wrestling podcast.
Okay. I don't know what CDN is.
Neither
Content Delivery Network.
And we don't need to know what that is.
All right. Here's the point.
you are having issues, and so because of that, it's not worth it to you. I'm not really having as many issues. I did have some minor hiccups for NXT arrival on Thursday, so I did have some small issues with that. I've had some small hiccups here and there. It's not enough to make me cancel, though. At least not yet. So, but if you want to know what our feelings are about the WWE Network, if you haven't done so already, go listen to our episode we recorded on Wednesday about the WWE Network. Andy, let's move on to WWE program for this week. One of the biggest things that broke last week is that Hulk Hogan made his triumphant return to Monday Night Raw. What did you think of the little segment they had with them?
My initial thought on this was that him coming out at 7 or at 8 p.m., I thought was stupid. I was like, why would you do this now? Then the buzz started happening through social media, and then I was like, smartest thing they could have done.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Now, we've obviously seen him on Impact even this year. His contract ended last year. Yeah, sorry. But it seems like it was so, you know, like not too long ago. We've seen him on Impact. You know, wasn't that exciting. Tonight. We see him on Monday Night Raw. What did you think of seeing him? Were you excited at all? I mean, you've seen him, you know, 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Did this excite you in any way, shape, or form?
I saw him. I was like, oh, that's cool. I saw him on Impact Wrestling. That's my first thought on it. And then I was like, okay, he's back home and the crowd's cheering for him. But you know what the sad thing is? I was like, that's a good pop, but that's not the loudest one of the night, I thought. So when it was all said and done. But him initially coming out, I was like, that's pretty cool. He's back. The fans who don't know much about the other promotions, they were like, wow, where has he been for 5 years or six years, whatever it's been?
Yeah, it's been a little while. I think having him back in WWE is a good thing. I think that he may help with buys a little bit, not much. I think that there's going to be a few people who will be like, oh, yeah, I want to see Hogan again. I actually think that his slinging of the network might be even better for WWE than just him being there. But Andy, you talked about the biggest pop of the night, and I think that the biggest pop of the night went to the returning Undertaker. What did you think of him coming back, and what did you think of his segment with Brock Lesnar?
I really hoped it was Sting for some reason, but we all know better than that. When Lesnar came out in those last segment, the first thing I thought was, okay, so Undertaker's coming back, because there's no other reason why you'd have Lesnar come out there and say he's not going to wrestle unless you had the Undertaker come back. Okay, that's cool. I popped. I was like, wow, look, there he is. There he is. He's back. And then I was like, yeah, Taker's back. All right, I'm done. All right, Hogan, Taker, I'm done.
I actually, you know, this closed out the show. No joke. I completely, for whatever reason, forgot the Undertaker was there. And I didn't even think about it. And I was like, oh, what are they doing with this segment? And then you hear, you know, of course, the gong. And I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. I am a complete idiot. Of course, you know, he's there. So they were going to set this up. I think that these two are going to have a good match. We're going to talk about this in the coming weeks. I mean, we have like six shows before WrestleMania. These two will not be in any tag matches together. They won't be in any three ways. This will be completely through proxy. It's going to be Paul Heyman coming out and taunting Undertaker. It'll be Kane maybe taking on, well, no, they won't have Lesnar wrestle even. So I don't know that I don't know what they're going to do to have these two get under each other's skin. I'm not sure exactly, but the buildup is going to be the most interesting because they cannot touch each other.
Right. Okay. So we have 6 weeks before WrestleMania. All right. So that's the main thing we should focus on. How many of those dates are they both going to be there? And how many of those dates are they going to have something that was pre-taped a week prior to that they're going to air on Raw? Because that's because, you know, Lesnar's deal is so good. But realistically, I believe now you can do without those big deals. You can be like, what? So we'll give you $1 million, but you got to work X amount of dates, you know, more than just like the 12 or whatever that he gets to, plus the first class travel and all that. I believe that you're going to see a change where they're going to say, we're not going to give you that big payout because we have all these guys from NXT. We'll force them to be
down. Yeah, but superstars. I'm sorry, but who's paying to see Adrian Neville? You know, now who's paying to see Brock Lesnar? That's a big deal. You can look at UFC buy rates when Brock Lesnar was there. and you can see those spikes go up.
But that's all wrestling guys, though. So
Brock Lesnar is a draw. He is a draw. Plain and simple. But so here's the thing. All right. I think the build-up's going to be interesting. We're going to be talking about this in the coming weeks, so not going to waste too much time on it now. The one thing that happened, Andy, I got to say, one of the most disappointing things I saw was that Brian came out and he said to the fans, tell Triple H that you want to see it, that you want me to be there to take on Triple H.
See, this is one of those things that I would love to see CM Punk come back for. It's the CM Punk to go out and say, I'm going to wrestle Triple H. If I win.
We're going to talk about CM Punk in just a little bit. All right. So but I do want to know about this in particular. Triple H versus Bryan, is this what the fans
want
to see?
No, the fans don't want this. The fans don't even want us. The fans don't want Orton or Batista in the main event, which is what's going to happen.
But it's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about Triple H and Bryan. All right. So the fans don't want to see that. What do the fans want to see?
They want to see Triple H versus Daniel Bryan on a Raw. If I had to pick it,
will not be on a Raw.
If I had to pick it, I would put it at Chicago. Because
no, are you kidding me? That's as dumb as putting Goldberg versus Hogan on a Nitro.
They announced it on a Thursday.
It doesn't matter. That would be dumb.
Okay,
that is a pay-per-view match. Pay-per-view match.
But I don't believe it's a WrestleMania match that you should have. I believe if you're going to have that match, you have it as the curtain jerker, and you have a stipulation where if Daniel Bryan wins, he main events.
And there's a lot of people that are talking about that.
But Triple H won't go out first.
Exactly. I don't think that's going to happen. I'll say this. This is a WrestleMania quality match. This is. Honestly, it is. And you're going to see two people who have been butting heads for the past 7 months finally get, you know, go at it in the squared circle. It's going to be the second or third main event there. It is going to be a huge match. Here's the issue that I have, though. If Bryan does not win the title at WrestleMania, his fire, it's that slow burn is going to be ice cold. You can't relight that wick. You really can't. He is hot as all can be right now. In my opinion, you can have him take on Triple H. You push that to SummerSlam, though. You know, you have this whole year thing. Be like, this is where it all began. You know, and then you have Daniel Bryan hold the title until SummerSlam, and you have them take each other on at that time. In my opinion, that's what I would do. In my opinion.
Yeah, but they've also said that they're going to have a thing where Vince was going to get involved, and they've scrapped that entire storyline. Vince could have got involved and said, no, it's not going to be you and you. It's going to be you versus Batista and Randy Orton is what he should have said.
Yeah, I agree.
But they scrapped it.
So I think that the fans want Bryan to have the belt. It's not about being put in the greatest match. Like, he could be put up again. He could beat the streak at WrestleMania. He could. But the fans, they don't want him to have the belt. Like, him beating the streak at WrestleMania may not be as good as him having the belt, because you want to see the conclusion to that storyline. It'd be like watching I don't want to spoil. Okay. Be like watching Breaking Bad and not have the ending happen that happened. If they did something completely just, you know, crazy, where everyone would be like, that was a dumb ending, like Dexter, you know? You want to have a Breaking Bad ending, not a Dexter ending. I'm sorry, all right? I'm mixing genres here. So anyway, Andy, the WrestleMania main event, though, it's been decided. Orton won Elimination Chamber, and he's going to be taking on Batista. I mean, what's the dynamic there?
Could care less. Everyone's booing Batista, and he's calling people haters on Twitter. That's fine. But the problem is, I just don't care about Batista. Him coming back, him getting spoiled that he's coming back, that's fine. They did it one way, and they probably paid him a buttload of money. But realistically, the fans don't want to see him. They're like, oh, that was great the first night you're out here. All right, now get out, because we don't want you to main event WrestleMania. And then when he wins the Royal Rumble, that was their first mistake. Daniel Bryan should have came out as number 30. Won the Royal Rumble, and he should be main eventing. The problem is, no one wants to see this main event now. And let me
pose a question for you then. Let's just say, hypothetically, Daniel Bryan is taking on CM Punk for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship or something like that, right? But Randy Orton and Batista actually had beef in the Royal Rumble. They had beef at Elimination Chamber, and these two, you know, let's say on Monday, they were arguing and they said, fine, we're going to finally settle all this Evolution stuff that we could have settled, you know, 10 years ago. We're going to finally settle it at this year's WrestleMania. This is going to be the fourth main event, let's say. Would that match excite you at all? Not for the title.
For the title, I would be like, all right, this might be a decent match, but I wouldn't buy the pay-per-view just because of that match. In fact, that's probably going to be the time that we're probably sitting around saying, hey, let's go get pizza. And then everyone leaves to go get pizza or says they're going to go on a beverage run. That's probably going to happen during that time because no one cares. They're probably going to be allowed 20 minutes, and that's going to be including their 5 minutes worth of video and the 7 minutes to walk down the ramp.
They're going to get 20 minutes for a main event. But I agree with you. I think, you know, we have a heel versus a tweener. I mean, Randy, and realistically, actually, I don't know which one's the heel and which one's the tweener, because the promo Orton cut on Raw this past Monday was actually a really good promo. And I mean, he slammed Batista, but he's supposed to be the heel and Batista's the good guy who's saying some heelish things. And on SmackDown, of course, he said some other heelish things. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, because they've had two faces versus each other, WrestleMania 6 in particular. Two heels in a match, though, you can't do, in my opinion. I believe that as your main event would be a really bad main event. I don't care who's in it. I really don't. Two heels is not going to do it. So they will do something, which brings me to the final point. CM Punk, is it time for him to return?
If he had to return, he would have to do it in Chicago. But I believe that he's done. I believe that he's 100% done.
Okay, you stated that earlier, so I have a counterpoint to that, Andy.
All right.
I think he'll be there in Chicago, and I have nothing to back that up with. Absolutely nothing. But I think he's going to be there, and my reasoning behind it is I think that him and Vince actually have a good relationship. I think that Punk and Hunter don't, though. And this is just, you know, my feelings on the matter. And I think that Vince may have gone to Punk and said, look, we have two heels. We need a face. We are going to give you your WrestleMania moment. And they're going to give him the opportunity to main event against those two. And he's going to finish out his contract. He may lose that match, but he's going to be in the main event, which is something that he's wanted. He really has wanted that. In my opinion, I think Daniel Bryan should be there, and it should be Daniel Bryan in the match. Punk taking on Hunter. That's what I would do. But I think that he will be back to wrestle at WrestleMania, because at this Chicago, this Raw is at Chicago, and the fans are going to crap all over that product if CM Punk is not there, and he needs to show up in the very first segment. They need to break out with It's Clobbering Time, and he needs to be there. Otherwise, it's gonna be a crappy Raw.
I don't disagree with you on that point, but I'm just saying it right now. He's done. He said multiple times that when he calls it, he's done. And there's been a lot of people who
are. Oh, yeah. And a lot of, do you remember that time Ric Flair retired? Do you remember that time Terry Funk retired? Do you remember that time Hogan retired?
You remember when Stone Cold retired?
Yeah. He's the only one. But that's also because of health reasons. The only person that's ever retired that I can think of that actually retired was Shawn Michaels. He walked away from wrestling on live TV. I mean, he's, done stuff, to help train, but other than that, either way, I think that Punk's going to be at the Raw show. And if he's not, I do think that we will see him before the end of the year.
So you're saying that if he doesn't show up, you're going to throw out, we'll see him at least by the end of the year.
I asked before, would you $50? Will we see him before the end of the year? Yes or no? And you said no. That's what you would put your $50 on. I'd put my $50 on before the end of the year. And if I had to, I'd put $5 on we'd see him at Chicago.
Really? Because you know what? If you are a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host, you should check out hostgator.com and build a blog to complain about this stuff. They have their web hosting is made so easy, and it's affordable too. You can take that $50, definitely do that. So they offer unlimited space and unlimited bandwidth as well. One click script installs and a free site builder to make that blog, and hands down the best and easiest control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out hostgator.com and take a bite at every web hosting cost. Also, hey, if you got $50, why don't you check out Section 86? This is off the mark page, and you're gonna see a banner to save on big items at wwshop.com if you use that special coupon code. And and if you have that $50 lying around, or if you just want it from your brother. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So the Wolves get handed their first loss. So albeit it was definitely in a three-way with Bromance and Bad Influence, which is setting what up, Aaron?
So yeah, so it was in a three-way. I mean, so they didn't get pinned. The Bromance pinned Bad Influence. But it was, you know, they were still in that match. The thing, though, that I thought was so stupid, though, before this match happened, they had a segment where they showed that the Wolves had won the tag titles at a house show, which is totally fine. But then they had on their house show in West Virginia. Now back to London, where they are right now. So you're telling me that they were in London last week. They flew back to West Virginia so they could have a house show match. And then they went back to London so they could record this stupid segment, right? I mean, that's what you're saying? It honestly, it kind of took away a little bit. You know, it makes – I don't mind recorded shows, but it really, really kind of tests the boundaries there. And it's like, yeah, this is really recorded. So I didn't like that. But, you know, I mean, the Wolves losing in a three-way isn't bad. Shows that they're vulnerable. And I think that this tag team – I was very surprised that they gave them the tag titles so quickly. But I think that they do have a bright future in TNA if they keep them together.
But I also think it's because since they're going to be doing their one night only with Wrestle One, I believe it has something to do with that, because the Wolves have worked in Japan. Mm-hmm. And I'm betting that there's a reason why they're going to, you know, I know Bromance is going to be in the match, but if my memory serves me right, Robbie E has never wrestled in Japan that I know of. So you need someone who's wrestled in Japan before you understand it. It's a lot. It is different. There's certain things that are different.
I'm not sure if Robbie E's wrestled in there. That's like saying, I don't know, maybe Jesse has wrestled in Spain.
Jesse wrestled in Japan.
Are you sure? Have you done your research on
that? I'm positive on, because he didn't start wrestling until recently.
I don't think you've done your research.
Now, Robbie E, I don't believe he has.
It's Robbie E. Who cares? He's a throwaway. Has Gilbert wrestled in Australia?
Maybe.
I don't know either. So anyway, Andy, Doug Williams made a surprising return to this TNA taping in London. Of course, he is British, and he's famous for his I can't even think of his move right now.
The jumping pile driver?
No. Doug Williams, he does the rolling German suplex, and I can't think of it now. Chaos Theory. The Chaos Theory, which is an amazing move. But he came, obviously, to a lot of fanfare. He loses to the champion, though. Do you miss seeing Doug Williams on TNA television at all?
Sorry, I got him confused with the Canadian Destroyer. anyways, but okay. Now, Doug Williams, I actually cared. Doug Williams was all right. There's some wrestlers that I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool that they're there. It's like when you see other wrestlers come back for a little bit. It was cool seeing him. If he's in the States again and TNA's taping, bring him back on for a quick segment. Have him wrestle. That's, you know, then you're like, oh my gosh, you can go to the backstory. He wrestled this guy. He wrestled this guy. And now he's back.
Former X Division champion. Correct. Too.
You can actually, if you set it up properly, it'll be good. So it's kind of nice seeing Doug Williams back. It's been a while.
I like him. He's kind of like Steven Regal, you know, or I'm sorry, William Regal. A man's man, you know, whatever you want to call him. You know, that's what he reminds me of. You know, he's the type of guy who's a really good worker, and you like to see him every now and then, but you wouldn't build a company around him, unfortunately. Now, Andy, the main event of the night, MVP was taking on Robert Roode. It was the two team captains, and Austin Aries was the ref, and Aries turns on MVP, and Aries apparently is going to be joining, you know, Roode and joining that team. I mean, Aries is turning heel again. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, I thought we were talking about Kaz, because it just seemed like he was face heel, face heel, face heel for so long. I believe that Austin Aries, what he's doing, is that he's going to continue to be a tweener. He looks like a heel turn, but then he's going to do a heel turn on the heel team. So I believe that he's going to be always a tweener, because I think that's where he works best. Because the fans will cheer him, and they'll boo him at times, but they hate when he loses, if that makes sense. Kind of like the Stone Cold, where like people can't stand him when they tried to turn Stone Cold heel. It didn't work. Same thing with CM Punk. It, you know, it didn't work. People still cheered him.
CM Punk's heel turn was better than
the Stone Cold one. But still, that's how I feel about Austin Aries. But I'm pumped to see what's going to happen over the next, basically after lockdown, since everything else is taped from here on out.
Yeah. Now, the other kind of small thing, too, is that Samuel Shaw, apparently him and Ken Anderson are going to be feuding. What do you think? I mean, is this a good move for Anderson?
Anderson's
going from
put him
Bully
over.
Ray to Sam Shaw.
He's going
to
put over Sam Shaw because Sam Shaw is the next big thing or whatever. People think that he's going to be really, really good. But didn't they say the same thing about, what's that guy's name? Gosh, not Gunner, the other guy that was like Gunner that you couldn't stand.
Oh, Murphy. By the way, I actually looked that up.
Oh, my gosh.
The other week, because I was like, who was with Gunner? What was that kid's name?
No, not Murphy, dude. I'm thinking of someone else, too.
Murphy and Gunner were the two guys. And it was like, oh, my God, Murphy was just the worst.
Crimson. That's who I was thinking of.
Oh, Crimson. Yeah.
This is
a step down for Anderson,
big step down, and all he's doing is put over Sam Shaw because you know that Sam Shaw will beat him, and then the following day at the taping Anderson will beat him, and then it's kind of pointless because let's move on to our weekly topic. We're going to talk about NXT Arrival. The show opened up with I thought it was a 2 out of 3 falls match with Sami Zayn and Antonio Cesaro. I'm sorry, Sammy and Cesaro, or Zayn versus Cesaro, whatever you want to say. I thought this was a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Nope.
I was wrong. So this is the fourth time they met. Each time they've had a match, it's been great. The one thing that I will say, and I knocked TNA for this, and I knocked the Wolves about it, and I wanted to kind of change my thoughts on it. I've seen most of Sami Zayn's matches, or El Generico. The stuff he did tonight, besides a couple things, I've seen him do. When Cesaro was Claudio, and they actually wrestled, I've seen the match was very similar. Not completely, but there was 4 spots in there that were they did it.
I haven't seen him.
Right. So as a casual fan or as a hardcore fan that didn't follow the independents at all or know who these guys were beforehand, this was an awesome match. If I took that aspect out of it, the way they set up each spot, it was different enough where I was like, oh, wow, how did they get to that? I was disappointed that there was a spot that you're going to remember where Zayn went through the middle and the bottom turnbuckle, mm-hmm. and he would give him a tornado DDT. He's done other stuff, too. But I don't ever remember seeing, Cesaro doing a uppercut like that or someone else doing that to him. And I was in shock about it because I was like, oh, sweet, here comes the tornado. Oh, my gosh, it's not. My only thing with this match, this was probably the match. This is actually match of the year. I'm just going to say it right now.
I wouldn't go that far.
I will go that far.
It was a good match.
But my only concern about this match was they reversed so many things that it reminded me of a TNA match.
Look, not NXT every, had, but a, some. Had a very different feel to it. It really did, which actually is probably to a benefit because I like the fact that it's different. I don't want to just watch, ECW on WWE. It's like this is just WWE stuff. It's just you have a different name. This actually felt like a different program. The only downside was that the announcers or, the commentators were saying, these guys are really good. I can't wait till they get called up to the big leagues. I can't wait till they do this. They're going to be really great someday. It's like, no, they're actually really good right now. You should treat this as though it's a different promotion. When you go to a minor league baseball game, they don't go, man, if only someday they'll make it to the Cubs. That would be just fantastic if they could do that. Instead be like, why don't you enjoy what they're doing now? That aside. This is my first time seeing Sami Zayn because I had not been watching NXT because it was not easily accessible for me. Now it is, which is really great, and we'll probably talk about it from time to time. Sami Zayn is very polished. He has a very good look to him, and I actually like that he lost the mask, to be honest. I think that his eyes, his mouth, his expressions are fantastic, and that's something that you can't get with a mask. And even as El Generico, which he was really – really, but like the crowd just loved him and he is very charismatic. Taking off the mask, I think, is a much better move for him. I don't know about the name. I mean, it's okay, but I do like that they took off the mask. And this match was really good. I would say it was, definitely a match of the night. And you know, the fact that they did this 2-hour special was really smart because it got people interested in NXT, and the stream actually froze a few times. And I think it's because they had such a demand for it.
Oh, I actually, the funny part about this, it never froze for me during this match, which is the ironic part. But anyways, yeah, I've seen this match multiple times in NXT, and honestly, this one was just as good, if not better, than the 2 out of 3 falls match, which I still think is probably the best like set of matches they've had. The spot where they do it's like a flip into a power, where it could be a power bomb into a sunset flip. I love that spot, and they did it, and they did it so well that I was like, oh my gosh, oh, it's coming. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Oh, now it is. Bam. And he did it. You know what spot I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And that's something that I believe is skillful. There were a couple bad moments in the match, but for the most part, it was awesome. I'm very happy about it. The one, you know, moving on, the one thing that I was shocked about was the fact that we got to see Too Cool. Except it was against the Ascension, which, you know, it's going to happen here. You're going to get a worm spot, which did not happen, which I was not happy about. Everyone's pumped about it. And then Ascension won 1-2-3. That's fine. They're the NXT champions. They were going to win. But I believe that they made the Ascension look a lot better, which I'll give them credit on.
Yeah, there were some I noticed some miscommunication, and you know, that could be for a number of things. This is my first time seeing Ascension at all. Now, I've, you know, of course, seen Generico and Sammy. I'm aware of who they are. Ascension, I was not. So this was new for me. And Ascension, from first looks, they just look like they're big guys, and it's just going to be a big tag team. You know, like I was almost equating them to Demolition, Axe and Smash, you know, without the face paint, of course. But that was kind of my thought, like if I, or even, you know, and I don't want to make this comparison because I doubt that they're this bad, but Chronic would be the other one that I would compare them to. But they weren't that bad. They didn't botch everything. So
getting to Ascension real quick, they actually had their gimmick was actually more about they were like devilish or whatever. And they would like the opening of NXT, they actually, their eyes are like all whited out, which is awesome, but they changed their theme music, and I was really shocked about it. I was like, that usually when a talent has changed their theme music down to NXT, it means they're getting called up, so don't be surprised there. But yeah, well, I
tag team, so yeah,
right. That makes sense. And the way they do things with Ascension, I love the gimmick. I just hope they continue with the true gimmick and not veer it off or expand it anywhere. I thought it was great. So
Andy, I do want to talk about Paige and Emma.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, you know, we normally don't talk about women's wrestling on here because, you know, let's just be honest, there's really nothing to talk about. I mean, I hate to say, but there is almost nothing to talk about except for when they leave. But this, I got to say, was a good match. And I was very shocked because I am not a fan of women's wrestling, and I'm not misogynistic. It's not that I don't like women. I don't think they can wrestle. It's that the vast majority of wrestlers that are in WWE who are women are not good wrestlers. However, though, Paige is a good wrestler, and I know you've been saying that for a while, but she is. She is a good wrestler, and Emma actually showed me something tonight, which I was surprised at because I did not think that she was going to be a good wrestler based on her what she's been doing on Raw. The thing for me that really kind of was like, wow, was the very end, and the submission hold that Paige had put Emma in was just like, wow, I cannot believe that somebody of your frame is able to pick that person up and put them in that type of submission hold, which I forgot the exact name of it, but it was just, it was crazy. It really was. So
I'll tell you the truth. I've never seen that maneuver done because her one. Okay, real quick. One of her moves that she does that she does a clover leaf and then puts the knee down. Mm-hmm. And she has used that in NXT. And I thought that's what she was going for. I was like, oh, that'd be a cool way to win. But I have a beef with Paige, actually. Her outfit changed. One, she added purple to it. So I was like, what the heck? New theme music as well, which I was like, what the heck? And she wore red lipstick. And, dude, I know really? That sounds really stupid.
Really?
But here's why I love the fact that we talked about Ascension first and then this match. Going broader, I believe that they're going to call Paige and Ascension up and they're going to be together. I'm just saying that. Anyways, but this match itself, I was happy about it because there was not a lot of slop. A lot of women's matches, it's all sloppy, very, very sloppy. And you're like, why are they here? But Paige has been wrestling since she was, I think, 13, if I'm correct.
So, yeah, that's what
and her
saying.
And her entire family, they're all wrestlers. Every one of them, and her father just retired. One thing that I want to point out about Emma, Emma was doing other stuff, and I honestly, Emma looked better when she her outfits are dumbed down, if that makes sense. So they try to make her look ugly. I'm just saying, if you've seen her in other stuff, I'll send you some pictures. You'll be shocked. She looks gorgeous. Anyways, but overall, as a women's match, I was excited about it. I was surprised Paige retained. I was very surprised about it. But overall, I'm glad you got to see them wrestle because that is how they wrestle. And there's really only two other girls in NXT that can wrestle. Not that caliber, but just a shade under.
Well, so, I actually think, though, that a match with Paige and AJ will be a good match. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it won't happen. It won't happen soon. I don't think it would be like at WrestleMania, but I think that you could have them, you know, wrestle in a couple of months and you could have a nice little feud there. Andy, the ladder match, though, for the NXT title, we had Adrian Neville and Big Bad Bo Dallas. And, you know, it was actually a pretty good ladder match. It really did feel like a episode of TNA's Impact, though.
Oh, wow. You got to see the ladder match. I got to see the Tyler Breeze entrance about 15 times in a row before I said clear cash, control F5. I only got to see the very last spot where Neville goes up for the red arrow and lands on Bo onto the ladder. That is where I first started watching the match. And then he goes up for the title. So I missed the entire thing. They kept showing Tyler Breeze over and over again. And I'm like, yeah, him and Xavier Woods, that one dude came out and beat the crap out of him. I didn't even know if they had a match because it kept freezing there.
What now, Adrian Neville, what do you think of him?
I've been a fan for a long time. And I believe that once he gets to the main roster, I believe that he's going to end up being like Kofi Kingston, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that Bo Dallas has an opportunity to potentially, if they work him in with the Wyatts, you know, because his brother's there, I think they could do something along those lines. I had a buddy of mine actually kind of pitch a storyline where Bray Wyatt corrupts Bo Dallas. And I actually think that'd be a pretty good idea. I think it could be a good way to get them in there.
But I love Bo Dallas's gimmick because he's delusional. Like, everyone loves me, and they boo. They're like, yes, Bo. And like that. That's why I was like, I hope he retains, but because I would love to see Neville come up to WWE, the main roster. But this is,
they have too many people there right now. I mean, they don't have enough TV time for to have that many people come up.
Yeah, I guess it would be nice. But Cesaro shouldn't be at NXT, but he is.
Yeah.
And he was just in the main event. He was at the Elimination Chamber main event, and then it's like, hey, let's have him come back to NXT and be the curtain jerker. All right.
Well, but that was the best match.
Well, it was the best match of the night. Don't get me wrong. It could have been the last match of the night. It would still been the best match. But still, I guess that's my thought process on it. Overall, did you think it was a decent pay-per-view? And did you have any network streaming issues?
I did have some streaming issues. It was okay. I mean, it was a good introduction to NXT. The thing that they said at the end really surprised me, which was that, and we're going to be showing this every Thursday night, which made me go, really? So I guess TNA is going to have some competition then. I mean, albeit in a internet stream versus a, you know, cable television show, but they're going to be able to find out what those numbers are because, you know, with of course, with cable TV, you know, you have the Nielsen box, and that's not going to be scientific. Whereas with this, you're going to have actual numbers where you can say this many streams actually started and watched it live. This many streams watched it right afterwards. So they're going to have really hard numbers for that.
What if TNA's numbers drop 100,000 for the first hour and then go back up the second hour? How do you think? I mean, hypothetically, do you think that they're in trouble?
No, because if 400,000 people have bought the WWE network, I highly doubt that 100,000 people are going to watch NXT live. I really don't, because I'll be honest, I would not have watched this, and I didn't watch it 100% live. I watched it, you know, like I fast forwarded through it a little bit to catch up to the spot. So I watched like half hour delayed. But honestly, I mean, this is something that I would watch the following day. You know, this is something I'd watch, you know, the you know, on the weekend when I don't have anything to do. So I would not skip TNA to watch NXT. Not at this point.
Oh, I thought you were talking about TNA.
Anyways,
so before we call it, I just want to say, if you have not listened to our network special, you got to listen to it. We brought a friend of the show, Doug Hunt, on. And of course, the both of us were on there as well. We talked about all things the WWE Network. I'll put a link in the post and make sure you click on it. If not, just go to our special section and it is listed there. It's our 12th special that we've done. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to this show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.